Well, as we get ready to begin this series called The Kingdom, I thought it would be appropriate to take a moment and talk about the King who is over this kingdom. And so I've compiled some different things of what Scripture tells us about our King, Jesus. And here's what the Bible says about him. It says, who is this King of glory? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. It says, after God had spoken long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. See, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. Things that are visible and things that are invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things, somebody say all things have been created through him and for him. It says that God has put all things in subjection under his feet, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that isn't subject to him, that he is Lord over all. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He upholds all things by the word of his power, even you. And although he existed in the form of God, he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And it says, although you and I were formerly alienated, separated, and hostile toward him, engaged in evil deeds, engaged in sin, yet he has now reconciled you in his body through death, in order that he might present you before God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. It says, when you were dead in your transgressions, when I was dead in my transgressions, when I didn't want anything to do with him, he made us alive together with Jesus. He forgave us of all of our transgressions. He canceled the certificate of our debt, consisting of laws against us that were hostile toward us. He took it all out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. And for this reason, it says that God highly exalted him, and he gave him the name, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then we get this glimpse in the book of Revelation as John has been alienated on an island. And didn't they know the most dangerous place to put a Christian was in a place alone where he could meet with God and receive from God? And so he is writing what he is seeing of what's going to happen later. And he gets this glimpse of heaven, of the end of times. And it says this, and then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. There are some crazy things in heaven that we have never seen. And it says the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and glory and riches and wisdom and might and honor and blessing. And it says that every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all things in them, I heard them saying to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Who is this King of glory? His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Welcome to the kingdom. Jesus, today we recognize you as the King of this kingdom. And we've come in this place to lift you high. And I'm just asking that you would help us see you. Help us see you. Help us see this idea of the kingdom and our place in it. Today, as we look at you, look at your word, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the kingdom is only as great as the king who leads it. The kingdom is only as great as the king that leads it. And our pursuit has to be first and foremost of the king. In the idea of pursuing God's kingdom, the idea is that he is at the forefront of what we're pursuing. And I think it's important that we kind of establish that here at the beginning. That even when we were talking through this series at the beginning of the year about getting the most out of it, I tried to continually point our eyes toward Jesus. Because if we begin to pursue God and pursue Jesus because of what he can do for us, all of a sudden the things that he can do for us become our God. And we have found ourselves in idolatry trying to pursue God. And so I feel like it's my job to continually put before us what we're doing every single day. What we're doing when we gather here. It is not just to pursue what God does for us, but to pursue God, and those things come with him. And I was talking with some friends yesterday and reminded of a thing that a friend of mine used to say all the time. And he talked about his children, and he said, you know, sometimes my children come from my hands. They want what's in my hands, what I can give them. And if they come from my hands, sometimes they'll get what they want from my hands, but they miss my face. And my face is really what they need, even if they don't know they need it. See, sometimes we think, I just need God to do this, I need God to do that, and your needs are very real. But when you seek his face, he said, when she seeks my face, she gets my hands. And there's a difference, because there is something within the person of God that you need that maybe you don't even realize. And so just know, whatever you need, if you seek him, who he is, before all things, he will give you all the things that you need. And as you'll see in a moment, one of the scriptures was that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And so as we move into this idea of the kingdom today, one day Jesus was praying, and his disciples said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And he says this, Our Father, which in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Somebody say kingdom. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus mentioned the kingdom not only as he taught his disciples to pray, but the kingdom is mentioned 126 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's mentioned 55 times in Matthew alone. So there's something that Jesus wants us to see about this idea of the kingdom. And really what you'll see is all of the things that are within here are wrapped up in this idea of his kingdom, where he belongs and where we now belong who trust in Jesus. Here's two different scriptures of just an example of what Jesus said about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, From that time on, Jesus began to preach, Repent, turn away from your sin, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. So Jesus is saying, do something different, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the only thing that really had happened recently, different in that time, is that God came to earth in flesh, and his name was Jesus. And so the kingdom of heaven came near. What I believe Jesus is saying is that Jesus came near. And so Jesus didn't just bring himself, though. He brought the ways of how the kingdom operates. In John 18:36, he says, Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place. You know, because they expected Jesus to come in and reestablish the government there and be their king. That's what they thought the Messiah was going to do. But Jesus is saying, listen, if that's what it was about, you're missing it Because if it was about me coming and doing that, then I wouldn't be arrested and I wouldn't be murdered. But he's saying, no, you have to see things differently. My kingdom is not of this world. It's from another place. So Jesus speaks of a place, this realm, that is somewhere else. But again, what I think Jesus is saying is something beyond just a place. He's saying it's a way of doing things. Because Jesus will say, you are not of this world. You might be in this world, but you're not of this world. It's that same sense that we belong somewhere else, but there is also this idea of the other world working within our world. And so we see these double meanings, but they don't contradict one another. They complement one another. So is the kingdom a people or is it a place? Yes. Is the kingdom here or is it there? Yes. Is the kingdom now or is it not yet? Yes. Is the kingdom physical or is it spiritual? Yes. You know, and this idea isn't really that foreign to us. We're all from somewhere. Raise your hand if you're from somewhere. Oh, wow, y'all are all from the same place? Somewhere, Alabama? I'm just kidding. Is there a city? Somebody should Google for me. You don't have to yell it out here. You can tell me later if there is a town called somewhere. But we're all from somewhere. We're all from a physical place. And in America, we see people from all over the world. And so we all come from somewhere, this physical place, but we all carry somewhere within us this idea of who we are, and that's kind of the spiritual side. That because of where you are as a place, there are certain maybe ways you speak or ways that you do things from different culture. That even goes down into the household you grew up in. There's a certain way that maybe you sweep. You know, maybe you sweep this way, maybe you sweep that way. I didn't think about this illustration before I came to preach, so this doesn't make a lot of sense. But we all do things different ways. Maybe you wax on, maybe you Windex this way, maybe you Windex this way. Those are very silly illustrations. But we all do things different ways because of where we are. There is a place that exists within us. And I think that that's the same idea in a sense of what Jesus brought with the kingdom. That Jesus came from heaven, from another realm, from another place, and he brought with him, inside of him and who he was, the ways of another place. And so today we're going to look at three different things that happen because the prayer was, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to talk about three things that happen when the kingdom comes having to do with your life. So the first one is when the kingdom comes, number one, the king assumes his rightful place. The king assumes his rightful place. See, Psalm 103:19 tells us that the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, so that's where he has chosen to reside, but his kingdom rules over all. Everything that you see, his kingdom rules over. So God rules over all things. It all belongs to him, but he has granted you a free will to decide whether or not you will recognize him for who he truly is. And so we've talked about this idea before, that what we have to remember is that what we think about God doesn't change him at all. It doesn't alter him, but it changes everything about us. And the other idea is that in the end, and we saw that when we were reading through about Jesus, in the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But by that time, it becomes too late. We have been given this opportunity now to recognize who he is and that he is king over all, and we choose, is he king over me? You know, you may work for someone And they rule over the business, and all things belong to them. And in a way, even you do, your title, your position in that organization, in that company. And you decide whether or not you will submit to the leadership that runs that place. And how you decide that and how you respond to that ends up usually in two different ways. One is typically in blessing. You become a part of that company. You reap the benefits of that company. You reap the benefits of that leadership. And the other, fire. I mean, you get fired. And it's much like that in the kingdom. It all belongs to God, and we choose, am I going to recognize him as king of my life and submit myself to him? Listen to this. This is from another pastor. It says, here stands God on the day of creation. He looks at stars and he says, all you stars, move yourself to this place. Start in this order and move in a circle and move exactly as I tell you until I give you another word. Planets, pick yourselves up and whirl. Make this formation at my command until I give you another word. And he looks at mountains and he says, be lifted up. And they obey him. He tells the valleys, be cast down. And they obey him. He looks at the sea and he says, you will come this far and no further. And the sea obeys. And then he looks at you and me and he says, come. And we say, no. And the writer says, does that bother anyone else? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. There's that matching there. When we're asking God's kingdom to come, God's kingdom invade, what we're saying is, I want to line myself up with your will. I want your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in earth? I think when we think about those things, when we talk about even maybe restoration in a relationship, and I often think about this, when we pray, God, I pray you'd restore this relationship, here is what we're asking. We're asking that one individual or both individuals would hear from God, repent of what they've done wrong, see if they are acting in a way that's incorrect, turn and ask for forgiveness, and then move in the process together of restoration. That's how relationship is restored. We pray, God, let your will be done, restore this relationship, and there are these pieces within it of human beings that have to submit themselves to God and move in his will for the relationship to be restored. And so when we're praying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I'm not doing his will, how can I expect his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because his will being done on earth is each human submitting themselves to the lordship of who God is and saying, your ways, not my ways, what you want me to say, not what I want to say, where you want me to go, not where I want to go, what you want me to do, not what I want to do. It is submitting to, as he leads us and speaks to us and teaches us, that we keep time after time putting our own selves aside, our own selves to death, understanding that as you do that, you will live in the full blessing and joy and fullness of life and the life everlasting. That is the point, is that you remember that God's commands are for your good. That he's never, if he's ever trying to take something from you, it's so he can give something better to you. And you got to remember that. I have to remember that. And so I, with joy, when I realize I'm wrong, I, with joy, when I realize I'm at fault, say, God, forgive me, help me, lead me, because I know when you lead me, things are going to go great for me, even if they're hard. That in that, I find the fullness of joy and the fullness of life. I know what life looks like when I'm on the throne, and I won't know part of it. And that's the idea of his kingdom come. See, the kingdom is God's rule and God's reign. The kingdom is God's rule and God's reign. See, the kingdom of God is seen when a person who is wronged looks in the eyes of their offender and says, I forgive you. That is the kingdom of God and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. It's when a person feeds their enemy and blesses those that curse them. That's what Jesus instructs us to do. The kingdom of God is seen is when a person will go without so someone else can have. When they lay down their life as Jesus did. The scripture tells us greater love has no one than this, than he that would lay down his life for his friends. The kingdom of God is seen when someone who has wrecked their lives because of abuse of drugs and alcohol encounters Jesus and those bondages are broken and they begin to move forward in the life that God has called them to. Been there. The kingdom of God is seen when people of great power and great influence serve in humility. The kingdom of God seen in people, his will being done on earth in me as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is seen when the sick are miraculously healed. The kingdom of God is seen when a person who has been stuck in this cycle of depression and darkness and they're watching the people around them move forward and they feel like they're living in this fog, and somewhere, some way, Jesus intercepts and lifts that fog and fills them with joy and life. It is the kingdom of God. This was an interesting story Pastor Dave shared of the kingdom of God intersecting with our kingdom. And after our Christmas offering, Pastor Dave sent a text to a missionary to let him know we were sending a $25,000 check to help fund his project. And within minutes, he texted back and he said, wow, Pastor Dave, that is incredible. I cannot believe the timing. I'm at a store with my wife because the store is so big and the aisles are so wide, I can walk and pray while she's shopping. And no more than 3 minutes before you sent the text, I was praying. I was asking God how he was going to provide. The need for the funds is huge. I was asking God if my prayers are big enough. I asked him to show me some things that were extraordinary this year to demonstrate just how great he is. And then comes your text. Thank you for being a friend and for Chapel Hill being a partner. Those are how the kingdom of God intersects with the kingdom of earth. So the second thing is when the kingdom of God comes, the king shows you a new world. The king shows you a new world. I'm tempted to sing A Whole New World from Aladdin, but I will spare you. A whole new world, fabulous from you, dazzling from you. No one to tell us no or where to go, or say we're only dreaming. A whole new world. Okay. The king shows you a new world. John 3:3 says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, unless they are born again. Unless they are born again. He's talking about salvation. See, there are some things you can only see when you're free. There are some things you can only see once you're free. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And you may still have some old patterns. You've spent years building these patterns in your life. And maybe, thankfully, you came to know the Lord as a child, like my children will, and they will continue in his way. But for me, I had some patterns that I had built up. And when I came to know Jesus, I still had these patterns to fight against, but I had new desires. And that's the miracle of what God does at salvation. It doesn't mean that your struggles, your things that you deal with just magically go away and you're always walking in the perfection of the Lord. But what it means is that God does make you a new creation and that he gives you new desires. See, it's the desire that people struggle so hard to change. If people can find a new desire, they can often work on the patterns. And God comes in and plants this new desire, this new life that there were things you thought were funny before, but when the Spirit of God comes in, you realize them for what they were, and you don't want a part of it. There are ways of talking and acting that were normal for you, but then when you come to know Jesus and He fills you with His Holy Spirit, that those things come in again and you go, whoa, 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 that's not me anymore. It's this idea of helping him you see things in a new way. Philippians 2:13 tells us, it is God who works in you to will. I love that. I'm so thankful God put that in there. It's God working in you to will, to give you the desire and to do and to carry out His good pleasure, His good purpose. And it's this idea is that as we renew our mind, as we walk with those desires, and as we declare that when those old things come back up, and we're like, that's not me anymore, and we begin to absorb our hearts and our minds in God's Word, and we gather with people, and we learn, and we grow together, that we begin to move in those new desires, and those old patterns begin to change. And I want to encourage you today, don't ever let God stop showing you new things. Because there have been times that I would try to chalk up things that used to be very convicting is not as convicting because of maturity. And I just remember asking God, I'm like, God, don't let me go there. Keep speaking to me. Keep showing me new things. Keep perfecting me. Keep pointing out the things so I can keep getting better. Because the better I get, the more that I learn how to follow you, the more freedom and joy I live in, and the more of you I get to see, and the more of you I get to see, the more I want to live in that way. Because I don't want to waste any of this time. I want to do everything you've called me to do here and now. And so you get these new desires. And then number three, when the kingdom comes, the king banishes guilt and shame. The king banishes guilt and shame. Some of us get so ruled by our past, we can never move back. We can never move into our future. I remember when I began learning how to walk with Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus, and I began learning how to do this thing and learning how to read my Bible and learning how to pray and learning how to grow. And I remember going into prayer all the time, just telling God how sorry I was. God, I'm so sorry that I fail. I'm so sorry that I can't see. I'm so sorry that I can't. And I just felt like, man, this isn't very much fun. Is this really what it's supposed to be like? And I went to my youth pastor and I told him all this. And he said, you need to tell the devil to be quiet. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I've been praying. You're saying the devil's in my prayers? And he was like, no, you praying is good, but the devil wants to keep that condemnation and that shame over you just long enough that maybe you'll quit. And what you need to hear today is that, yes, you may fail. Yes, you may stumble. And if you found yourself in the place that's like, oh, that's just who I am, and you keep going with it, then I think you should question whether or not you've really made him the king on the throne of your heart. But we will fail. We will stumble. We will get so angry at ourselves. Shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that way? And you need to allow God to speak to you. But like a good father, God lifts you in those moments. Yes, you failed. Yes, you sinned, but remember, there's no condemnation over you anymore. You don't have to be buried under that guilt and shame. Look at Jesus. Remember, he took it all of your sin. Remember him and get up. Put your eyes on him and keep going. And the enemy's going to keep coming back. You think you deserve to be there? You think you deserve to be serving in ministry? You think you deserve to be helping at your church? You think you deserve to be talking to somebody else about Jesus? Look at your own failures. How dare you? My goodness, if that's the way it was, I could not do what I'm doing. Right. Right. We keep looking to Jesus. And that's what Romans 8 tells us. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And preceding this in Romans 8 is when Paul was saying, I'm so frustrated because the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And then he says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he flows into, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, this new law you're living by, who gives life, this new law of the Spirit doesn't give death, doesn't give shame, doesn't give guilt, doesn't give condemnation, it gives life. It has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the old law. It's funny, Scripture tells us that the law that we were given in the Old Testament really just reveals our sins and therefore condemns us. It wasn't bad, but it showed us our sinfulness and our need for God. And so it's saying that you have this new law that gives you life, the Spirit of God within you. And it says what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, by us, by our sinful selves. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. He doesn't condemn you. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met. What you need to do to measure up has been met for you in Jesus. And that's what it's saying. In us who do not live according to the flesh, according to our sinful selves, but we live according to the Spirit. We live with God on the throne of our hearts, seeking to follow Him, seeking to obey Him. And I think there are people in here that you need your morning talk to become kingdom talk. Reminding yourself of who you are because of your King. And I think one of the great ones to walk through is Galatians 2:20, that you can remind yourself, today I am crucified with Christ. My old self is crucified with Christ. It's gone. For I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, is what it says. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And your mind's going to say, no, he doesn't. And you're going to say, yes, he does. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body today, I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you that you gave yourself for me today. Help me to live by the things that I can't see. Help me to live by faith today that I don't feel it, but I know it's true, and that you're here with me and you're empowering me and you're leading me. You are the King on my throne today. And the last thing, I came across this scripture just in my own devotion time as we were preparing these talks, and it became very precious to me. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, you won't see it on the screen, it says this: don't be afraid, little flock. I don't know if it offends you to be called little flock. It feels comforting to me. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus came to redeem a people first and a place second. He will come and he will wipe all of this away. And the scripture tells us that we're not going to live in some cloudy realm somewhere. He's going to recreate the earth. And he's going to put a city on the earth. And the people of God will live in that city on a new heavens and a new earth. But first he came to get a people for the city. And so I'm going to go ahead and ask our prayer partners to come down front. I want to close a little bit different today. Your prayer partner, would you just come down front? I'm going to pray, and you're welcome to stay and linger for a moment. You're welcome to just sit and enjoy this moment. But if you're in here today you need prayer. Maybe you're in here today and you need a relationship with Jesus. You need that first step that you recognize him as king and then you say, I want you to be king over my life, over my heart. Maybe that's your first step today. I'd invite you to come find one of our prayer partners down front. And they'd love to talk with you. They'd love to lead you in that. But also, if this is your first time with us today and you're ready to go after I pray, I want to invite you to stop by our hospitality area. There's some people that'd love to meet you there and speak with you and give you a gift, say thank you for being with us. And we're so thankful that you've joined us today at Chapel Hill. But I'm going to pray for you, and then you're welcome to go. But if you'd like to sit, you're welcome to. Or if you'd like to come find somebody to pray with, you're welcome to do that as well.